Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 259 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, moving her behind. That's right, exercise in the era of COVID. Oh man, have we got a great show coming up. And just know, before we begin, that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because I love listening to you. Yeah, your feedback, priceless, platinum, love it all. Okay, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
So we're just entering like the ninth week of lockdown. Are we ever going to reopen? Yes, we are. Each of the states is beginning to kind of creep toward reopening. Some are really ahead of the curve. And so, you know, all along, people have had one thing to do in most of the states, and that is to get out of their house, not just to go to the grocery store and to drive off to the pharmacy, but also to just get outdoors and move. Because, honey, there was nothing else to do in lockdown. And there you have it. So here we were, all of us who are, you know, experts and national people in sports and fitness, yelling and screaming and ranting and raving forever for people to get physically fit. Now that's all they can do. You know, so it ended up being kind of an interesting, strange situation. But with the extra physical activity, and now with the gradual reopening of health clubs, sports, venues, ways to be able to move your body outdoors, indoors, there are a lot of questions here. How do you do this safely when we're still clearly not out of the woods with this viral pandemic? Well, who better to answer any of this is Dr. Nicole Keith. Dr. Keith is the new president-elect of the American College of Sports Medicine. Happy dance. Here's your applause. Oh my gosh. Needless to say, you all know that I've been a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine and very happily have just been elected to the Board of Trustees of the college. And so I get to work with Nicole. Yay. And we're going to be helping, you know, kind of voice this and articulate how we can even use this whole opportunity, as it were, of this COVID crisis to re-examine what we do with physical activity. Now, Dr. Keith is a research scientist at Indiana University Center for Aging Research. She's a professor of kinesiology at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, and associate dean of faculty affairs for the School of Health and Human Sciences. And I'm just telling you right now, I can't think of someone more articulate and smarter who can answer some of the toughest questions now that are surfacing about what we do with physical activity in the era of COVID. Nicole, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thanks for having me, Pam.
All right, what do we do?
That's a great question. And so this COVID-19 has really given people the opportunity to have some free time and to get out of the house and to become more physically active. Well, I would say both in the house and out of the house. And so on the one hand, we have the stay-at-home order, and people are in their homes and noticing clutter and dust and dirt, and they're doing physical activity in the frame of cleaning, or in the form of cleaning. So they're mopping and dusting and cleaning out their closets and cleaning out their garages and making space either to declutter or to set up equipment so that they can exercise. And so it is a really exciting time because people are really being thoughtful about how I can exercise safely in my house or how I can use chores as a form of physical activity, and are feeling better because they're moving their bodies while they're having less clutter in their houses. So in the house, people are being physically active, and I'm hearing about this. I'm also reading about it and seeing it, and Goodwills right now are having a hard time because people are cleaning out junk from their house and bringing it to the Goodwills, and they don't have enough space for it. It's a problem, but it's a good problem to have. And so that is in one instance. In the other instance, this stay-at-home order has closed many playgrounds, exercise facilities, courts in the form of basketball courts or tennis courts. And so people are trying to find other really creative ways to be physically active outside while safely social distancing. Cities are closing streets so that because there's less traffic, and so that people can be physically active at an appropriate physical distance in the street, safe from traffic. So it is really encouraging, and I hope that it continues as municipalities start to reopen.
You know, one of the things I noticed, I mean, clearly here in Washington, D.C., we have a monster park called Rock Creek Park. And we normally have it closed on weekends because there's so many people who like to cycle, especially, as well as walk and run. And it's much safer. But now they've even extended it further so that people can utilize this during lockdown because there's no traffic anyway. So why not basically take advantage of that situation? The other thing that's interesting is that if you, I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal about the fact that gardening supplies are flying off the shelves. I mean, people are absolutely going outdoors now and landscaping and working in the garden. And that's an activity of daily living that really puts it out there in terms of physical activity. So our gardens have never looked better. And people are really now getting out there and using their bodies in a way that gives them a lot of rewards. I bet they're not even thinking about the physical rewards in a big way. They're looking at the beauty of what they're actually creating. So that's cool, too. So let me ask you a question. So I've been, you know, clocking in the miles, you know, walking with my beloved German Shepherd in our park here. And I don't wear a mask. I do not wear a mask because I never go where there's other people. So it's just me and my, you know, furry guys, and we're out there. However, I see entire, you know, I see sometimes people walking by either as a couple, middle-aged or younger, wearing masks, but there's no one around them. And, or I will see a biker wearing a mask, you know, kind of whizzing by, or a runner. So this is getting a little confusing. And there are a lot of, you know, headlines out there about when you do or when you do not wear a mask. Help us understand this whole mask thing as it relates to physical activity.
Well, Pam, we're still trying to figure that out. And as everyone knows, COVID-19 is new. And we're in the process of building the evidence of what protects someone from someone else. The mask recommendation is really to protect others. Very few of the masks you see people wearing will protect you. And so if you are outside exercising with somebody that you live with, the CDC recommends that you don't wear a mask. You can have one in case you encounter someone and you can't safely have a safe physical distance, which is 6 feet from them, then you should have one. But there's not a lot of evidence to show how far COVID-19 can travel from our mouths or to someone else's mouth or nose. And so it's kind of a guess. I think that more and more people are wearing masks because they want to be responsible for others. However, if you're in the house, if you're walking with somebody you live with, then if you're not wearing masks around each other in the house, there's really no reason to do that outside. I also recently read on the CDC website, and that's where I go for the information, and the information does change kind of regularly as they're figuring out what the evidence shows, that you can keep a mask like down around your chin so that you can breathe without any obstruction. But if you encounter someone, then you can put the mask up until you pass and then take the mask down. But to your point, there's also a recommendation from USA Cycling that if you're cycling with someone, to do it in a line. So one behind the other instead of next to each other. But also it's with people you live with. So not to cycle in large crowds, not to run in large crowds, really to focus it on the people that you live with and no one else. It's not really useful to wear a mask if no one else is around. That's just my point.
Yeah, and I think that's a point extremely well taken. The other piece is, if you're within a vulnerable group category just by age, let's just say you don't really have any out of control comorbidity, meaning like you have another medical condition, like, you know, if you have high blood pressure that's very well controlled, you take good care of yourself, you're out taking your walk, but you're 72 years old, should you wear a mask?
Again, there's no age-related evidence that this would be different. If you're not around anyone, or you're just with the people that you live with, then there's no indication that you need to wear a mask, regardless of your age. And a point that I thought you were going to make, but that I will make, is that it's more dangerous to have high blood pressure and stay inside to avoid COVID than it is to walk. And walking is still recommended. People who are at high risk, like someone you just described, who has comorbidity like high blood pressure that's well controlled, should still be exercising. And it would be not recommended to stay sedentary in order to avoid COVID. You should still go out and exercise.
And so
at a safe distance.
Well, that actually opens up the issue of physical activity and immune function. Let's talk about that for a moment. So,
sure.
You know, there are a lot of benefits of physical activity, but especially in the era of COVID, immune function is important. So, tell us a little bit about immune function.
Well, physical activity increases blood volume, and increased blood volume increases white cells, and increased white cells boost your immunity. And it takes about 6 weeks. And so I've had a few people ask me, if I go for a walk, will it have a protective effect right away? And the answer is no. But if you start walking regularly and do it at a vigorous pace for 6 weeks, yes, it will boost your immunity. But it also has other really great health outcomes that also boost your immunity. So if you're physically active, you sleep better, which is great for your immune system. If you're physically active, it improves your mental health. It decreases stress and anxiety, which is also great for your immune system. So there are other stress-related outcomes or decreases in stress that will have an immediate impact on your immune function, like increased sleep and increased mood, less stress and less anxiety.
Exactly. And then there's another I word, not just immunity, but inflammation. And so physical activity is wonderful to help control some of those situations, like high blood pressure, for instance, that increase the inflammatory index in the human body. And we don't want that, because that also elevates levels of something, a protein we call cytokines. And we want to be able to keep that level of cytokine as low as possible, so it's modulated and in better control. But we want to control inflammation, and no better way to do that than physical activity, for sure. Yes?
Correct.
Yeah, we love it.
So well, I don't have anything to add. You're exactly right.
God, did I do it that well, Nicole? I mean, come on.
You did.
No, seriously. I was talking to some health professionals who work with, one of the large chains of health clubs nationally. And it was kind of a mixed bag. It's kind of interesting. They were saying, well, on the one hand, all the people we were always yelling and screaming to finally, please just get up and move. Suddenly they're just doing it because they've read enough to say, you know, like what you did just articulated so well, is that it's great for your immune function. You could decrease inflammation, all these great things, because they're trying to really lay down a strong foundation. And so that's good. People are actually, you know, doing a lot more. By the way, bikes are flying off the shelves. You can't find them because now all of a sudden it's like, who wants to take public transportation? Honey, I'm going to bike to work or I'm going to bike to wherever because I'm outdoors, which is probably the safest place to be because the wind, you know, dilutes the virus. At the same time, you've got the heat, humidity, all these good things that just come together, and plus all the wonderful things that happen in nature and back and forth. So that's a really good thing. Tell me what the American College of Sports Medicine is doing right now to address this whole issue, and what ACSM's role is when it comes to physical activity. A lot of people may not know the association well, so why don't you tell us a little bit about the association and what we're doing?
Sure. I just want to circle back one thing about bicycling, because it's really important that this is one thing that you can easily do multi-generationally. And so as families are sheltering in place together, parents and children, but grandparents as well, to go out and cycle together is easier than when you have different heights and you're trying to walk and people are trying to keep up. So that is another reason, in addition to the active transportation piece, that bicycles are flying off the shelf. But in terms of the American College of Sports Medicine, we have three groups, really. We have the groups that like physicians like yourself. We have basic scientists who are in laboratories trying to investigate what is happening with this virus and the human body. But then we have people who are really focused on behavior and public health. And so those three groups are really spending time with groups like the CDC, with medical, with healthcare providers, and with educators, trying to figure out how to safely reintegrate into society. And so it can be something as simple as recommendations for exercise, like we've talked about, but it can also be informing health clubs and fitness centers about air circulation and equipment distancing and how to keep their guests and members safe when they reopen the health clubs. I've this week spent a lot of time talking about the restart of youth sport and collegiate sport and how to safely do that among athletes. And then, you know, we've got a lot of the healthcare providers who are on the front lines experiencing COVID-19 and being attentive to their needs as well, both their physical and mental or emotional needs.
Yeah. You know, this is complicated. I know that's sort of a crazy ass, you know, umbrella statement, but it's complicated. So you've got outdoor athletics, you've got intergenerational athletics. So you've got kids in schools doing athletics. How do you do that? You have the extracurricular. You have professional sports. How do you do all this? Good Lord, we have the Olympics, which got kicked over to the next year. And so, you know, it affected them in a big way. And then here's another one. Do you think that there's going to be a real change up, a real redefining what happens in health clubs commercially, everything from the boutique stuff like Orange Theory, say, for instance, to the big guys like Anytime Fitness and all the rest of them? How is this all going to be redefined?
Well, Pam, I hope that it's really an opportunity to redefine it so that people can understand that exercise is for everyone. I have seen clubs right now preparing to reopen, and the way things happen, the way people use equipment, the way people share equipment is going to have to change, at least temporarily. But I hope it's an opportunity for people to engage with each other in a way that's really friendly and welcoming and encouraging. I think that we've seen it when we go to the grocery store, when we go to the pharmacy, that people are just nicer, kinder, and more protective of one another. And I hope that that carries over to the fitness centers where people are really taking care of each other and people are feeling welcomed.
Do you think that the headlines that have clearly noted that obesity per se across the board, especially with some of the conditions associated with obesity, which could be prediabetes, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, do you think those headlines are helping maybe awaken people to the fact that this virus has opened up a new discussion about the purpose of why one takes care of oneself? Instead of you and I, you know, bashing our heads against doors and windows and walls saying, please take better care, be more physically active, you know, improve the quality of your lifestyle. Now there's this thing that looms, which places you actually at greater risk for a more serious impact should you become infected. Do you think it's going to have more enduring impact in people?
I certainly hope so. I do know that people are afraid, and many people are afraid, but people who are most vulnerable are also most afraid. And I think it's a combination of I'm going to get out and walk, because I know that it's good for me. I'm tired of being in the house. I'd like to see other people. The weather is improving outside. And so I am going to get out and take a walk. And then it can become social. So you mentioned earlier that people are working out in their yards. And so you see neighbors that you otherwise would not be able to see. So you're seeing people as you're out. But I also think that there's this realization, because I'm seeing all different kinds of people. I'm an outdoor exerciser, and I'm seeing people I haven't seen in decades. I've lived in my house for 17 years, and I'm seeing people that I saw, you know, 10 years ago and didn't know they still lived in the neighborhood because I haven't seen them in so long. And so there's this social thing, but it's also people will get out and walk and perhaps realize that they might have some functional limitations that could be improved if they just walked more. And so what I'm hoping is that people won't stop walking just because there are other things to do, that they can go back to observing sport instead of playing it, or they can, or they have to go back to work. I hope that this walking and biking and the active transportation, but also the recreational physical activity continues even after communities reopen. I also hope, and I said this before, that policymakers see the benefit of open streets and limiting the amount of traffic that can come down a particular street or enter a particular community so that people can have more space to be more physically active.
You know, I want everyone out there to know also that Dr. Nicole Keith is the vice president of the National Physical Activity Plan Alliance and has a special focus on health equity. You know, I read an extraordinary feature in the New York Times, and it was written about a week ago by Dr. Sabrina Strings from the University of California, Irvine. Happily, she's going to be on our podcast within the next 2 weeks. And she really addressed the issue of diversity and inequity, because there's no question that this viral pandemic has very much hit the Black community, the Hispanic community, very hard for a multitude of reasons, a lot of which have to do with the fact that it's all fine and dandy for us to say, you know, let's get up and walk in our nice park and eat healthfully. What if you can't afford any of that? What if you really don't have access to a high enough quality health care? And what if your blood pressure is out of control because you can't afford your medicines, or you're not fully informed about what's important and what are the priorities, et cetera, et cetera? I think this is a golden opportunity for all of us to really open our eyes and get a reality check on the fact that this is unequal, that this is laid barren. A lot of our inequities and very, very vulnerable populations have suffered because of this. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think about 95% of the COVID-19 deaths are among people who have chronic conditions, and these are the diseases who are most that are most common among people of color. And physical activity does tend to improve the diseases. And so absolutely, we have to promote physical activity among communities of color and people who live in low-income communities as well. And unfortunately, Pam, opportunities to be physically active in these communities are significantly reduced because they're most frequently found in either very urban areas where there's high-density traffic. The sidewalks are in disrepair, if they're sidewalks at all, or in rural communities where there is no sidewalk, and so people can't safely be active outside. You know, I also think about people with disabilities, which is another disparate group. And, you know, I worry especially about kids because for the children, at least when they're in school, they have physical education class. But once the schools are closed, the opportunities for them to have adaptive physical education goes away. And it's kind of the same thing for kids who are living in, kids who are living in low-income communities. I think that school districts have done a great job of making sure these kids are getting food in a variety of really creative ways. But there's no provision to make sure that these kids who might not have yards and might not have a safe place to play outside, especially since parks and playgrounds have been closed, there aren't many provisions for them to be physically active. And so it is a challenge. And so I guess my call to action would be, as we're reopening parks and playgrounds and facilities, to first focus on those that are closest to the low-income communities, because those are the groups of people who need them the most. They don't have the discretionary time necessarily or space to be physically active, and they need those facilities and spaces reopened.
I love this. I just love your call to action. And most importantly, I'm loving the fact that you're president-elect of the American College of Sports Medicine. And under your leadership, Nicole, I think it's interesting. I bet you never in your wildest dreams thought that you would be addressing this type of issue as you begin your presidency. And not only that, though, now that I think about it, of course, you and I were supposed to see each other. We were supposed to have this huge annual meeting of the American College of Sports Medicine this very week in San Francisco. That was canceled, as were all the other large annual meetings. And so all I can say is here's a virtual hug and a major, you know, high five up in the air, very virtual. We're doing social distancing by about 1,000 miles at least. So I'm so thrilled you're going to begin create this new foundation for thinking differently, that you'll be part of this creating a new normal as we look at physical activity, especially in the era of COVID. And I'm very, very proud to be able to help support you in any way I can.
Well, thanks, Pam. I actually was supposed to get the gavel passed to me tomorrow, and it will happen virtually on Monday instead, so I'll become president officially on Monday. And I'm really looking forward to the annual meeting in 2021 in Washington, D.C., so I'll get to visit you there.
Well, I don't even get to travel, so, you know, what can I say? You're killing me here, you know. But it works. Listen, everyone, we've been talking to Dr. Nicole Keith. She is the president-elect of the American College of Sports Medicine. She's a research scientist at Indiana University and as well Associate Dean of Faculty Affairs for the School of Health and Human Sciences, and a wonderful friend and colleague. And I can't thank you enough for speaking as a leader in the field of physical activity, helping us understand what we do with physical activity in the era of COVID. Thank you so much for being on the HER podcast, Nicole.
Thanks for having me, Pam.
Awesome. All right, everyone out there, you heard it. Take a moment now. Hit iTunes and rate and review the show. Come on, I want to hear from you because this was awesome. Now, really? Yeah, I hope you're talking to me from way outside somewhere where you're taking a walk in a park. Yes? No? You listening? All right. So there you go. I love hearing from you because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the HER podcast. So please follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the HER podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Please stay safe and stay well.